Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Travel Channel is one more new journey into the destinations of paranormal activity unfolding this year. It's Ghost Loop, where a team of experts attempt to unhaunt places for good. Executive producer Daniel Schwartz joins me next. Also en route, executive sweet dealing at NBC Universal, our new classic trivia winner with the winning answer, and musing over Muppets and Portal TV. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of holiday season audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very good Friday afternoon to you and all. Welcome once again to the program All About Television. 44 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Sky is getting very gray as we speak. We're supposed to get 1 to 2 inches of rain between this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon. But wherever you are, all things are sunny and good wherever you're going. And we have some wonderful stuff to come your way over the next hour. Great guests as well. So pick up the phone and be part of our program. Get interactive with us. All you have to do is use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country and around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our chat room is in business. We have somebody already in the room. Way to go. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you get involved. And by the way, our chat room is SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon at Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Daniel Schwartz from Ghost Loop will be joining us. Ghost Loop will join us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, down south, after these news notes. Jeff Schell, NBC Universal's chairman of film and entertainment, is close to becoming the programmer's chief executive officer. Schell may nail down that role next week, succeeding current CEO Steve Burt when he departs NBC Universal next summer. That's the word from NBC officials speaking on the, off the record with entertainment news organizations earlier today. We'll see what happens. Hulu's long-planned miniseries adaptation of best-selling novel Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Ng debuts March 18th. Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington of Scandal fame co-star. And the Alamo Draft House Theater chain will present local screenings of 4 new HBO series during 2020. First of the bunch, Stephen King created The Outsider on January 8th at an Alamo Draft House near you. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, Travel Channel's headquarters, is the executive producer of Ghost Loop, Daniel Schwartz. Daniel, happy holiday season to you.
Happy holidays to you. Everything's coming very fast.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the storm from down south that's been dumping a lot of rain and some snow in various areas in the Mid-Atlantic states is coming our way. So, and we'll get through it, absolutely. First, before we go talking about Ghost Loop, as Travel Channel executive producer, how much pitches or how many pitches do you get now about paranormal shows since the network decided to combine travel with exploring the world of the unknown, the world of psychic phenomena and things strange?
I don't have enough fingers, toes, and hairs on my head, frankly, to give you a number. And I would say thousands. And what the one funny thing about that is that you begin to see, no matter how you describe the mandate of the network, you begin to see that you get the same pitches over and over again.
So how did Ghost Loop, this show you're now involved with, get through the door and get on the air?
Well, first of all, the concept is very unique in the sense that it's about a specific kind of repetitive haunting and one that tortures and torments people night after night in the same way. I'm laughing, but not because it's funny. It's not funny. This is a very real thing. And I would say between us liking the production company, Essential Media Quail, which is an international company, and the fact that this team really does this, these guys, it wasn't like created for the show. We thought that that was pretty cool.
Now, in Ghost Loop, it reminds me a little bit, when I first read about this, of the, you ever see the movie The Uninvited, starring Ray Milland?
Yes.
Which is about the effort to, which is about the effort to try to get rid of a ghost who is terrorizing, has been terrorizing his family for decades.
It's very similar. It's very similar, if you want me to elaborate a bit in this sense. The ghost is not usually, it's not a residual haunting, which would just be like a ghost doing whatever every night, like it was totally just stuck and had no consciousness. But it isn't personal, even though it seems very personal, in the sense that the ghost has a trauma that it's repeating, like all traumas. And so the ghost, if you will, is in pain, if a ghost can be in pain. And so it's very similar in the sense that the ghost doesn't really know what's going on. You know, am I dead? Am I alive? And so you're dealing with essentially a demon or an entity or a ghost that is more than anything confused, probably.
So once you got the assignment to produce Ghost Loop, how did you find the subjects? How did you find the places to go, and how did you assemble? We'll talk about the team in a moment. Let's start there. How did you find the places to dwell in?
Well, the production company, Essential Media, was looking for, when they started to post, the way we found it is, it had to be real. So what do we mean by that? It had to be documented, you know, both on video, and they had to really, truly be suffering. And more often than not, and this goes into the story, you were talking about decades. More often than not, a ghost loop is something that goes on for years and years and years and years, sometimes generations, as in a couple of hours. And so, to your point, we were looking for cases that passed the sniff test from us and from the team, the investigators, because they're very serious about their credibility, about what they're doing. And so just because somebody says something's going on is not really, unfortunately or fortunately, enough.
So they have to, through the team of experts, first of all, figure out, is there a ghost, is there a there there? Or is there a ghost there? And it has to be,
yeah.
You said it has to be documented some way. I mean, how do they document it?
Well, I'll give you some interesting examples. Now, you know, obviously the experts are better at documenting it than the production scout in many cases, or the homeowners. So there is always an element when you get there of, is this for real? And that's what they're first checking out. But an example is some cases, and in the course of the show, it appears to be unfolding in real time, but often we know in advance through research, the ghost loop actually is based on a historic incident. So that's a really, and the homeowner doesn't know it, that somebody, let's say, was murdered in her house, a wife abuser. She sees an entity that bangs on the door, then appears on the other side of the door in smoke, and seems to be going for her. What she doesn't know is that in 1921, an abusive man came home to beat his wife as per usual, and she shot him in the head. And so he keeps storming through the door. And that's an example of a case where, like, you know, what is proof or what is truth, as Pontius Pilate said, But that is one of the examples where it's pretty extraordinary that the sheriff's records basically back up exactly what is happening from almost 100 years ago. And I can tell you the homeowner does not know.
We are checking out Ghost Loop. It is Travel Channel's new series, one of the last original ones for 2019. It will premiere on Friday, December 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And we're talking with Daniel Schwartz. He's the executive producer of the program for the network. He's with us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, where Travel Channel is in part based. This half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Glad you are with us, live and in person, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Simon Hatton with you live from New York. If you have a question or a comment for Daniel, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have 2 90-minute episodes coming your way next week on Tomorrow Be Televised, Monday and Friday at this very hour. Coming up on Monday, we will have producer Theo Anthony from the popular ESPN series 30 for 30. One of their latest episodes later this month is called Subject to Review. It's all about the instant replay and how it's impacted the sport of tennis. And Theo will be on as our first guest. And then, what are some of your favorites of great shows this year and not-so-great shows this year? Well, match your selections with that of our famous programming insider, Mark Berman. He's on second. And coming up on third, we will talk to the executive producers of the new BYU-TV holiday movie, Christmas Jars. It's the latest of their annual holiday made-for-movie or dramatic special presentation. Jones and Jesse Kupas will be with us. That's all coming up on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, exclusively, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Talk about now how the team, and were they formed beforehand, or they've all come together for the series?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Actually, what happened a few years ago, one of the producers of the show had a ghost loop in his house. He had no idea how he could be helped or what could happen. But then a few years later, he read a newspaper article about the team. And he realized that's what he had experienced, and he reached out. And he discovered from them, from the cases they were working on, this is before the TV show, that there are people all across America who also have ghost loop problems. And so he thought, I would love to develop a series about this. And the rest is Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I mean, history.
Uh-huh. And both. Let's say both. And as a matter of fact, one of the interesting things about the first episode coming up later this month, which takes place in Houston, and you were talking about that case a few moments ago, is that it's not only the homeowner by the name of Becky who is impacted, it's the team that's impacted also. They, in fact, receive some of the ghost's presence, if you will.
Very much so. One of the things that happens, and I do other shows like Ghost Adventures, and I've been actually doing that since its inception 11 years ago. And one of the things that we've observed is when you start to interfere with something that is there, you don't have to believe to know that something is there, because it begins to attack or attach itself to people that maybe are interfering with it in various ways. And I've experienced on Ghost Adventures where members of the crew have had to take time off because they were so traumatized and had an attachment that was making their life hell, you know, a ghost that they brought home with them, if you will. So it's very much the case that they are sentient enough. That's why it's not a residual haunting. The entity or ghost is sentient enough to know you're trying to do something, maybe get rid of it. And they're not going to let that happen so easy. So they attack the only way they know how, which is often to get in your head or maybe give you a headache or create heat. or cold. And on the one hand, it's interesting the variety of things that can happen that are unpleasant. On the other hand, it is interesting that they do form patterns, you know, and I think that's kind of interesting.
We have another person just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. It's Simon Apple 04 by name at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. Says televised. So put your thoughts in the room and give us a call, 646-652-2906. Once this team takes on an assignment and goes to a particular city, how long do they have to try to break the loop?
They have about 4 days, give or take, 4 days of solid investigation, and that's not counting the research and the pre-production that went in to, you know, certify that something's there. And a lot of it obviously takes place in the house, but a lot of it also takes place outside the house to figure out, like in the example of the Houston incident, they talk to police who say, yes, this murder took place here. And she did not, you know, there was a trial. The woman did not get time because she had been abused so much in the past. And it was clearly self-defense. So I would say about half the time, you know, they're in the house doing the experiments or investigating or on the property. And often about half the time they go to nearby locations that are related.
I'm glad you brought that up, Daniel, because in some of these episodes, my understanding is that one of the things they do is they try to recreate the location or the room where the incident that brings out the ghost takes place. There's an episode coming up in January called Frozen in Fear, taking place in Lubbock, Texas, where they encounter a ghost known as the Tall Man, and to try to break the loop, they actually recreate a train car where reportedly
yes.
the incident that spawned the ghost took place. How do they do that? How do they try to recreate a particular location?
Well, actually, that is one of the format aspects of the show. It's in every episode, even that first one. It's not recreating a whole place, but they deck out the room the way it looked in 1921 and create, you know, what it was. But the concept is this, and it seems to work, and we do it on other shows, but not to this extent. A trigger object can be used to trigger the appearance or a reaction or something from a ghost or other entity. If it's a child that drowned on the Titanic, you might bring it toys. That might stimulate it. And the thing is this team and us together thought, how could we, you know, take it one step or several steps further? And so the concept here is you create a trigger room, a whole environment that is familiar to the ghost and lure it to that trigger environment. So in the case of the episode you mentioned, it was somebody that robbed trains and threw people off trains to their death, the Tall Man. And so the thinking is, well, he likes trains. Why don't we create an 1890s train car, you know, as kind of bait or a trigger object? And it's pretty interesting how effective this is, and not to mention fascinating, frankly. So, yes, we use the trigger room or environment to lure the entity out because, you know, they're not dumb, these entities usually. And so the more you mess with them, the more they hide. And the purpose of the trigger room, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, the purpose of the trigger environment or room is to create a temptation great enough to get them out.
You're hearing Daniel Schwartz. He's the executive producer of Ghost Loop. It's Travel Channel's newest paranormal-oriented series, and it premieres Friday, December 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Daniel's with us live from Knoxville, Tennessee, this half hour on To Lobby Televised. Tommy Applebaum here with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Thank you so much for joining us on the program All Back Television. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Daniel, make the call go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our second 90-minute episode next week takes place on Friday, and it kicks off with someone who's trying to make the world of interactive TV happen in a big way. His name is Eli Steinberg. He's chief executive officer of Hovercast, and he was one of the closing speakers at last week's TV of Tomorrow show here in New York. He's our lead guest on Friday. And then we will have one of the key people behind Apple TV's first ever award winner for App of the Year. It's called The Explorers. It's a very interesting interactive application on their smart TV device. And we will have the developer of that project, Jean-Francois Wang. He'll join us live from Europe. And we'll also talk with the head of a company that's trying to get more programming services on a smart TV set or smart TV device near you. It's called Future Today. Chief Executive Officer Vikrant Mathur will be with us. His latest project, it premiered this week, The Lego Channel. No kidding, The Lego Channel. That's Future Today joining us live. That's all coming up. A lot of future talk coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If people remember the movie Poltergeist, that horror classic from the 80s, they might remember that what triggers that whole situation off is that the house that Craig T. Nelson and his family get was set on an ancient burial ground that goes awry. There's a sort of Poltergeist episode coming your way, it's number two in the series, in January, and it's really interesting. Talk about that experience.
Number two is... Is that the one in Alabama?
No. Number two. Florida, called Cradles and Graves.
I don't know if that is number two.
Or number two or number three. I know it premieres on, right after New Year's on January 3rd.
January 3rd. Okay, that is number three. Okay, so the premise of this episode is that's the tall man, correct?
No, it takes place in Florida, and it involves a homeowner named Teresa, and she's terrorized by something that crawls across the ceiling from one of her son's bedrooms to another. And as I mentioned, it sort of reminds you of Poltergeist because the team has to go. Go ahead.
Yes. The thing is, I think that's The Lady in White. I might have changed the title. I apologize. But basically, that's a classic example where it's not even going for the mother. It's going for the child. And often they go for children because they're more vulnerable. And that's pretty much the situation there. One of the scarier episodes, only because they're attacking children. And all I can say is that's a horrifying episode, and anything that can move things is not something I want to, frankly, deal with. But I'm trying to think of something more interesting to offer. That's actually 101, and that's airing 4th. I apologize. I got mixed up. It's in Palatka, Florida. That's another one where
Florida.
It's like it's an ancient, or if not ancient, it's an older entity that was there before. And the thing that's so creepy about stuff like that is, one, that, you can do a lot of stuff, but you cannot always escape, the past. Even if it's not your past, I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that pretty terrifying just because it had nothing to do with the woman. I mean, she's determined to stay in the house. I wouldn't, but that's just me, because the land has been in her family for generations, okay? So that's her motive. And the property is enormous. So they have to split up, which is the big trope in every horror movie. Don't split up, right? And what they find is the woman thinks there is this thing, and it is there. It's a burial ground where people would get rid of their stillborns. Because in the old days, they didn't spend money to bury, you know, a baby that didn't make it. And so what you have is all this unresolved grief because women had to hide them, basically, and then dispose of them. And on that one, they create a trigger environment that's a turn-of-the-century nursery representing the broken dreams of the... It's a mother who lost her children. And so she won't leave the burial site because, you know, the child never got a funeral. It never was acknowledged. So it's just great. Florida is, if you don't mind me saying, a sick place. But because, you know, there's also a bridge next door to her property where lynchings went on by the KKK. And I just say all this show is missing is Betty Davis. But seriously, on a more serious note, that's a very scary episode because think about the grief that never gets assuaged of a mother who loses a child and can't even talk about it. And that's the premise. I mean, the villain is often complex.
And the subplot is even more disturbing, the subplot of lynching. And the fact that it was a Ku Klux Klan situation. So there's an historical past here that is very disturbing, to say the least, that also gets addressed in the episode. It really is an interesting twist to what's going on.
It is a lot like Poltergeist.
Yeah, it is. What do you hope viewers get from watching this series about what this team is doing and also this whole idea of ghosts that recur? Whether it's something that was triggered by something in the homeowner or the owner's family, or something, as you said, that nothing whatsoever to do with the subjects that we see.
This is what I hope they get. You know, we're always hoping that people obviously have an experience that they can relate so that they watch and we answer the question, why should I care? Because they think, well, this could happen to me. Secondarily, I won't, you know, we also hope that we tell a convincing, credible story with integrity. You know, it's not about exploiting people, even if the stories are a little intense. So I think what we're hoping is that people get admittedly a disturbing experience, but one that also satisfies.
The move of Ghost Loop, the adventures of the team that puts together and deals with these issues, it all begins on Friday, December 27th, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Travel Channel. Ghost Loop is a name produced by Essential Media Group in association with the Travel Channel. Check your local list of where the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the promo online, go to www.travelchannel.com. It's www.travelchannel.com. Ghost Loop, it's a quite unique series. And as we said, there may be some very disturbing things along the way to get addressed too, and good for that. Again, Friday, December 27th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Travel Channel. Daniel Schwartz, executive producer of the series, thank you for joining us. Good luck with this series. Hope it's a long-running one and it has some very good consequences, but not just the people that are involved, but maybe for all of us too. And have a wonderful holiday season, a great start to your new year.
Thank you so much for letting me speak with you.
It is... Off a second. There we go. There you go, Daniel. Absolutely, Daniel. It's been a pleasure. Take care. All the greatest.
You too. Bye-bye.
Daniel Schwartz, executive producer of Ghost Blues, joining us live from Knoxville, Tennessee. More tomorrow. The Afterlife is coming away. But first, let's pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. Together, reaching over 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your host this weekend for Brunch in the Basement. That's right, it's not a ghost story, it's a music show. Brunch in the Basement, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Remember, best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away live from New York. Simon, I'm down here with you, 44 degrees at the top of the hour. Coming up, we will have our classic trivia question of the week segment. We have a brand new winner and an answer to that question. And we'll share both that with you shortly. And also, have you seen the Muppets on television lately? If you have, they have been talking about an interesting product called Portal TV. And they have some very big consequences for Facebook and for you. A comment about that coming up. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you had everybody covered on your holiday season gift list yet? Well, if you haven't, here is a great idea. Give them the gift of sound that really can transform the way they hear the world. The sound you can get from Audible.com. Sound from such books as Three Women by Lisa Tadeo, which will become a miniseries next year on television. If you want to get a best look about why, well, hear it for yourself. That could be one of the books that you can get for a trial run at Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the country and the world, and one woman and one man shows. And the great thing is you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Get it, not just as a holiday gift for you, but maybe for someone you love that lasts all year long and then some. Remember, you get 3 free audiobooks and a 1-month trial of the service. 2 of those free books are Audible Originals. And if you stay and a subscriber to audible.com, you save on what you get. So again, if you're looking for a holiday gift, I know it's coming up later in the season, but it's not too late to subscribe to Audible.com for you or someone you know. Just go to audibletrial.com/televised today. Now it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week segment, and I'm happy to say that for the second week in a row, we have a winner. And that winner is Susan Blumman from Frederick, Maryland, Big 50 TV expert, former Home Box Office employees. Congratulations, Susan. The question that we posed on Monday is this. In the 1950s, name the long-running police drama set in San Francisco, sort of like the 1970s drama The Streets of San Francisco, starring Carl Malden and Michael Douglas. The answer was The Lineup. It was on CBS from 1954 to 1960. Originally, it was a radio show on the CBS radio network called Project Lineup, with different casts playing the roles of key police people in San Fran. The lineup starred Warner Anderson and Tom Tully. Tully, by the way, during the run of the show, received an Oscar nomination for his role as the ship captain that was replaced by Humphrey Bogart in The Caine Mutiny. He was up for Best Supporting Actor. Lost that to someone else. The lineup was on CBS from 1954 to 1960, mostly as a half-hour series, and the final season went to an hour. And you can see some of the half-hour episodes under the syndicated title San Francisco Beat on YouTube. By the way, if Susan had said San Francisco Beat, we would have accepted that answer because that was the syndicated when the show was put in syndication. During the 50s, the repeat episodes would run under that title. That's how they're running on YouTube. So once again, the answer to our question, name the long-running 1950s police drama set in San Francisco. The answer, The Lineup on CBS, produced by Desi Liu. That's, of course, the production cover behind I Love Lucy and so many more great hits of the 50s and 60s from Lucille Ball and her then-husband, Desi Arnaz. So congratulations, Susan. The 2020 American Express Appointment Digest is going to be coming your way next week. We'll get it out on Monday, and we hope you enjoy and make it a great, great thing to use all 2020 long. And we'll have a new classic trivia question for you on Monday's episode. When you hear it, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's what Susan Blumman did at Frederick, Maryland. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the prize, and we'll showcase on Monday. And if you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. If we don't get a winner by first thing Tuesday morning, we'll post the question on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's on Facebook and Twitter, UBC Simon TWBT. So remember, when you hear the question, you know the answer. Don't be shy. Get involved. You could be a winner like Susan Bluttman. Let's see if we go for three in a row next week. And remember, it all starts with you. So get in the game and all the very best. And now a comment. Have you seen what the Muppets have done lately? That's right, the Muppets. Well, they have been all over the dial doing commercials for a product that just launched a few months ago. The product is from Facebook. It's called Portal TV. And originally, Portal TV was designed to be a video chat service. It's a plug-in that you put somewhere on top of your television set that has a camera. And that camera allows you to see your parents, family members, relatives, et cetera, anyone you like, through your television set in gorgeous color and high definition. And as it turns out, video chat, while it's a big, big thing, it's just the beginning of what Portal TV is out to do. In fact, what you can do now with Portal TV for $150 to get that device is you can, for example, have people on the other end of the line appear to you in augmented reality settings. This is one of the first examples of augmented reality on television that you can watch without having to buy a helmet, glasses, goggles, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, one of the applications you can use with augmented reality is this. The person on the other end can tell your children a story. And while the story is told, that person can appear in a costume or in some sort of mask or have a nice, lovely pastoral setting, let's say, or a story setting that fits the story surrounding that person's face. It's really fun. I've seen it in action, and it really is fun. And that's not all. You can also use Portal TV to adjust your lights, your room temperature, see who's at the front door. And as of this week, you can also use Portal TV to own or rent for a fee movies and TV shows provided by Fandango.now. That's the video on demand service of Fandango, the popular ticketing organization. So there's a lot you can do. And incidentally, there are other programming services that are now running through Portal TV. So basically, Facebook, in a matter of months, has turned this, what was going to be by itself a video chat project, into a smart TV project with all sorts of apps. It is the latest smart TV device on the market. The Muppet ads, incidentally, are a lot of fun to watch, and they do show you the scope of applications that are available through Portal TV. And right now, for a lot of us, the Muppets and those commercials are the only way people are really getting to know Portal TV. Why? Because Facebook has not done a lot of other things to alert the public about what they're doing, aside from the Muppets and stuff online. For example, no demos to the press, no PR press releases on their site or anywhere else. We've tried to have people from Portal TV, whoever oversees it, on our show. We have yet to hear back from Facebook. And you just wonder if they're trying to be Ebenezer Scrooge, like other smart TV sets and device makers, when it comes to showcasing on a regular basis in public or the press what their latest applications are. Incidentally, we are hoping to have somebody from Fandango on this program a week from Monday to talk about the Fandango Now app on Portal TV and early reaction from viewers. And when we came in contact with Fandango, we were told, nope, Portal TV's not going to come on. Don't worry, you know, don't even try. They're not. And once again, we have tried by Facebook, we have tried by phone calls and email to get somebody from Facebook on the program who is involved with Portal TV in some fashion. No answer yet. We're going to keep trying. Because we want to give things like this a full opportunity to be heard by you, our listeners, and the public at large. Again, what Facebook has come up with could be a very special smart TV connected device that could trigger big moves with interactivity, with video chat, with being smart home, with augmented reality, We understand that gaming may be in play here, again, using augmented reality applications, and a whole lot more. Personally, I hope that Facebook will stop being Scrooge and start showcasing what they're doing here in New York and Silicon Valley and everywhere else in between. Maybe at CES, coming up early January, they might come out of the closet. I hope they do. And then when they do, take the act here. Take the act Los Angeles. Take the act Chicago. Demonstrate in public what you're doing. Because just like the Muppets, you may get a crowd watching. And then ultimately, you might get some people using your product. And sooner rather than later, that group could be a multitude. We'll see. Again, we'll keep trying to get the Facebook people on this program, and hopefully next week we'll line up, as I said, for the week after, somebody from Fandango to talk about their role in Portal TV. Finally, I want to join everybody at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio in sending our best wishes, thoughts, and prayers to David Stern, the former commissioner of the National Basketball Association. In case you haven't heard, he suffered a brain hemorrhage late last night. He was taken to a local hospital here in New York. He has had surgery. We understand he's recovering. We have not heard anything in the last half hour, half day or so since. But we know that he is out of surgery. And a lot of people in the TV world who know David for what he has done to broaden the NBA's appeal through television are praying for him right now. As the former NBA commissioner, Stern was responsible for getting the NBA to go from having their playoff tape delayed on CBS to being live on ABC in their entirety, in prime time. And also to have the deals with watching the NBA regular season games nationally on TNT and ESPN on various nights, to have more regional sports network coverage of the sport, to introduce the WNBA, as well as the G League. And to start the ball rolling on international acceptance of the NBA. David Stern is considered one of the best commissioners that league and any sports, professional sports league has ever had. He's in the fight of his life right now, and hopefully he will make the winning shot from anywhere on the court to stay alive. And that's what a lot of people are praying about for right now, and we've joined in that prayer and thoughts for David Stern and his family. I want to thank again Daniel Schwartz of Ghost Loop and Travel Chat for joining us today and all of you for tuning in as well. Remember, we have a 90-minute episode coming your way next Monday and next Friday. Next Monday on the program, we'll have from ESPN's award-winning series 30 for 30, Theo Anthony, the filmmaker behind upcoming episodes, subject to review about how instant replay transformed the sport of tennis. Then our very good friend Mark Berman, the Programming Insider, who's just started a new gig with the new website Next TV. He'll join us to give us his thoughts about how TV fared this year and how it might fare in the year and decade ahead. We'll also exchange thoughts about the best and worst of TV this year. And finally, from the new BYU movie Christmas Jars, which premiered earlier this week and will be replayed on Christmas Eve, we'll have Jonas and Jesse Krupp as their executive producers. Then on Friday, a week from today, we'll start off with Eli Sternberg, the Chief Executive Officer of interactive TV player Hovercast. And we'll have the Apple TV's 2019 App of the Year from the Explorers developer Jean-Francois Grong. He'll join us live from Europe. And from Future Today, the people that put the Lego channel on the map on smart TV sets and devices earlier this week, Chief Executive Officer Vikrant Mathu. And we may have another guest coming the way that may expand that episode to 2 hours. So be sure to join us for special 9-minute episodes of our program All About Television next Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And we also are planning to have 3 episode weeks back-to-back, the week after next, and the following week. So Christmas week will be hope to be on Monday, Thursday, Friday of that week, and then the following week for New Year's, kicking in 2020, Monday, Thursday, Friday again. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, make it very easy for you, just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. All of our 2019 episodes are available for you to listen anytime you like. Remember, we're also available in podcast form on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. If you go to the latter, remember, when you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click and you're in. You'll also find some of our technology-oriented episodes on Media Village, the media destination website that I write for. File two columns that are up now this week, dealing with coverage of the TV Tomorrow show the week before. And we also have my good friend Charlie Weiser has also done a column or two as well about that exciting event that took place a week ago Wednesday. So check out MediaVillage.com, the media leadership website. That's www.MediaVillage.com. Well, incidentally, I want to thank Tracy Swedlow, the organizer of TV Tomorrow show and the popular newsletter Interactive TV Today, for inviting me to be on her internet radio program this past Wednesday. If you want to check that episode out, you can go to ITVT.com. That's ITVT.com for Radio ITVT with Tracy Swedlow. And if you want to hear the episode that we did with her before pre-Thanksgiving, again, blogtalkradio.com says televised or our podcast sites. Remember, we love hearing from you. We'd like to hear what you thought about Ghost Loop, your feelings about the paranormal showcase on television, and also your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. Have you tried Portal TV on Facebook? Have you seen the Muppet ads? What do you think? Do you think that this may be the next dimension of smart TV set and TV-connected device apps? We'd love to hear from you, so email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're emailing from. And remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question every week. We're going for three in a row next week. So remember, when you hear the question, email me at that address I just gave you. And if you don't hear the question, check us out the next day on Facebook and on Twitter at UBTSimonTWBT. That's also how you can get involved in discussing the topics and guests we have. We love hearing from you. I do respond to email and social media within 24 hours. Remember, we love hearing from you because, like we say around here, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Till is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Enterprise, Alan Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world, makes a great holiday gift for you or someone you love. So have them check it out, or you check out www.audibletrial.com/televised and sign up for that 1 month trial today. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fabulous weekend ahead. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And as always, whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned and watch out for those ghost loops.